Amen. Hallelujah.
Oh my, there's some equations out here which is just we just don't grasp it, amen. But hallelujah. There's one that knows the answer to every solution or every problem that you have. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. All right. All right. Let's go ahead and run over to 2 Timothy chapter number 4. And this is not really a sermon per se. Just some thoughts, just a little thoughts. And I told you guys I'd be brief. And we'll try. Amen. Now, but I just want to share just a few thoughts with you. This is just a verse that's been on my mind the last few days. And I just was kind of re-looking at it, just reviewing it. And so I'm just going to share just what the Lord shared with me. And then we'll go back and we'll get something to eat. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And once you get there, let's all stand. We'll read verse number 6. We'll pray. And then we'll ask God for his help. That's 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 6. The Bible says this in verse number 6. And of course, this is Apostle Paul. His last letter that he is writing to young Timothy. And this is what he says to Timothy. He says, "For I am now ready. I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." Let me read that again. Paul says, "For I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand." I want to talk with a thought, making the most of your life. Amen. Father, help us to grab a hold of some small but yet dynamic truths tonight. How each of us need to make the most of our life. Sometimes we spend all of our life bickering and arguing, fussing and fighting. And that ain't really that productive. But God, help us to make the most of our life. Help us to help somebody along the way. Somebody that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, to not only know about him, but also to receive him as Lord, Savior, and King. And then after that, begin to die to self and live for the precious Savior. Father, take this word that was written over 2,000 years ago. Take this word and brand it in the hearts of all those who are present, all those who are watching, and all those who will listen later. And for that, Father, we'll thank you. And then, God, I need your help tonight. Help me physically to preach your word. But more than that, I pray, God, for wisdom, direction, and guidance. I pray that you fill me with the Holy Ghost. I pray, God, to guide all that I say and I do. That I want you to be the great orchestrator of it all. And I pray, God, that you forgive me and cleanse me of anything in my life that will cause you me to be hindered by being used by you. Cleanse me thoroughly. And for that, God, our person shout hallelujah. Well, that's about it, sir. Help somebody. If I've left anything out, take care of that too. For it's in your son's name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Making the most of your life. Every person in here has a birthday. That's the day that you were conceived, or not conceived, but brought forth into this world. Physically stepping out, crying, and needing to eat and all that other kind of stuff. There's a day in which that took place. That was the beginning, so to speak, of your life. And the question we need to ask ourselves, whether young or old, am I making the most of my life? Am I getting the most out of life for the cause of Christ? When we hear about Apostle Paul and how his name used to be Saul and how he has all the credentials, he has all the academia and all that kind of stuff. He was an intelligent man. But Paul said one day, "I left all that stuff because it was like dung to me. It was worthless. It was nothing." Nothing. And he says, now, matter of fact, run me real quick. Run over there to, I believe it's in Philippians chapter number 4, I believe it is. Run to Philippians chapter, make that chapter number 3. And look what Paul says about himself. Look what Paul says in chapter 3. And look down at verse, we'll pick up at verse number 4. Paul says, though I'm, chapter 3, verse 4, Philippians, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, If any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I'm more. If anybody should be able to exalt his flesh or say, I'm somebody, Paul said, that's me. And he goes on to tell you why. He says here, my dear friends, he says, listen, verse 5, circumcised the eighth day. That's what the law required. He went on to say, my dear friends, of the stock of Israel. You know we are about our stock. What stock you from? See, I'm from the stock of Israel. He goes on to say this, my dear friends, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews. As touching the law, man, I was a Pharisee. He goes on to say concerning zeal, you know what? Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, that I counted lost for Christ. Methodism and a degree, that's wonderful. Wonderful. It's commendable. But what are you going to do with that degree that God enabled you to get? Will it be for self-gain or will it be for the cause of Christ? You, my dear friends, can work on a great professional job, but still on that job being witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's one of the things I like about some of our sports figures. Many of them are dogged out and ridiculed, talked about and stuff, but none of the ones who are actually following Christ are usually of help much. There are a lot of people that are serving Jesus Christ that are in or that play football or that play basketball, that play baseball, who love Jesus, who worship Jesus, who are serving the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't forget when the Bears played the Indianapolis Colts, the Colts. And I don't forget when I knew about Tony Dungy. I mean, he was the coach, but I did not really know Tony Dungy. I didn't know he was having Bible studies for those guys. I didn't know my difference. He was going around teaching all those kind of things. You know, when he wasn't doing. And matter of fact, when he was coaching football, he didn't look at it as him just trying to make them better football players. He was trying to make them better men. Better men. Why? Because he had been saved, blood bought and born again, and was doing his best to help the cause of Christ. You hear about our brother Tony Evans. He comes on the radio and stuff. Well, he is I believe he's the chaplain for the Dallas Cowboys. I don't forget one time hearing him preach about one of the guys came up to him and talked to him, and he says, "What do I do now?" He said, I've got all these awards, the most valuable player. I've got this. I've got a Super Bowl. I got the Super Bowl ring. And now what? I got all this money. Now what? Yeah, I got all this stuff. But now what? He said, it don't mean nothing. A lot of those guys have gotten saved. A lot of those guys have gotten saved. You know what you're saying, preacher? What I'm saying is this. You can have all that stuff that God has blessed you with, but make sure wherever you work at, whatever school you attend, whatever you're doing, make sure you make your life the most for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul was saying. He said, all this stuff here, I count it like it was nothing. Nothing. Because Paul knew there was a higher calling, and that was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul made the most of his life. Let's go back over here to verse number 6, and we'll be done in just a moment. But look what he says here in verse number 6. Paul says this in verse 6. For I am now ready. Hey, I'm ready. 2 Timothy 4, verse 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I am now ready. Let me ask us the question tonight. Are you ready? Are you prepared to meet the Lord and Savior, Jesus? Are you prepared to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Are you prepared, my dear friends, to meet death when it comes down your road? I've been privileged to meet a lot of folks who right before they passed off in the glory, had a testimony that they was ready to meet the Lord. They knew, my friends, that death was about to knock on their door, but yet they were ready and not fearful, but yet ready to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? When you don't have that confidence that you are saved and blood bought, you can't say with confidence that you're ready. You can only say, I hope I'm ready. I hope that I'm ready. And that word here, ready, right here, word now here means even now. For I'm even now, right now at this moment, ready. That word ready, well actually those four words go together. Ready to be offered. They all go together. It means this, to pour out one's life. It means not only to pour out one's life, but also one's blood as a sacrifice or as an offering for the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you and I ready? Are we prepared to give our life totally over to the Lord Jesus Christ? And by the way, when you give your life, that means, my dear friends, you are giving everything. Not just your church life. Not just, my dear friends, your home life. But also, my dear friends, your work life. It's all your life. Are you giving it all over to the Lord Jesus Christ? Because some people have life in compartments. You know, we're at church. You know. But then once we get in the workplace, we're at work. You know, people go on vacation places. You know, what's the saying in Las Vegas? You know, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And in people's minds, subconsciously, they feel like I can go to Las Vegas and do whatever I want to do. And it's off the books. Really, it don't count. You keep thinking that. And then when God comes by and say, when you get out the airplane, and he's sitting there waiting on you. You're like, Lord, that didn't count. Because it stayed in Las Vegas. It ain't with me now in Indiana. It's not with me now in Illinois. He said, no, it's with you. And it's going to be with you in a minute. Amen. Not to hurt you, but to help you. Amen. I mean, God knows exactly how to get our attention, my dear friend. And by the way, you think this long? This ain't long. God's reaching all the way down from heaven, my dear friend. Can you imagine from heaven itself? That thing just extending. It goes around corners. It goes under chairs and under tables. You be trying to hide. You can't hide. Adam tried that. Him and his wife, they both, here come God. They come on, baby, come on.
He's trying to hide.
God like, Adam, where art thou? You know he knew where Adam was at. Adam kind of. He's hilarious. We hang. If you're hiding, why are you telling somebody that you're hiding? We hang. He didn't have a lot of sense. But nonetheless, my dear friends, listen, we cannot hide from God. We cannot run from God. But what we ought to do, my friends, is make the most of life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Make the most of our life. Look what he says. For I'm now ready. I'm ready to pour out my life. I'm ready to pour out my blood as a sacrifice, as an offering for the Lord Jesus Christ. He goes on to say this. And the time of my departure is at hand. That word time means this. It means set or proper season. Time. Each of us has a set time when we are going to leave this earth. You have reservations. You and I have an appointment that you can't cancel. You're going to make that appointment. So can we reschedule? Listen, my dear friends. Paul says, I have an appointment. I have a set time. I have a set time. My plane is about to leave. If you ever caught an airplane, it says 7:25. If you ain't, they're gone. And we did have one guy, I don't know what he was doing. They were going to New York. And he was like, you know, this is the last call. If you're not here, the plane's taking, they're shutting the door, you can't get on. He said that about 20 times. He said, you got 1 second. And one guy, he's from Chicago, he said, 1 second. How are they going to get there 1 second? He's going to close the door. But you know what he said after that? Still making calls for folks to come up. But you know what? When it comes time to go, you and I, it's time to leave. But are we ready? The Bible goes on to say this. He says, for I'm not ready to be offered. And the time, the set or proper season, the season of my departure is at hand. I like this word departure. The word departure right here in this verse, it means to unloose. I like what one writer said. There's some things that holding us tight down here. But says, you know what? One day we're going to be loose from NIPSCO. Amen. We ain't going to have to worry about NIPSCO no more. Amen. And have to worry about rent no more. We're going to be loose from all those things. Amen. But now watch this. That word also means this. Not only does it mean to loose, but it also means this. It's a military term, which means taking down of a tent. When you go camping, you set your tent up. But then it comes time, it's time to go home. And what you do? You take your tent down. Paul said, there's coming a time where I'm going to take this tent down. This body has to be folded up. This body has to be laid down. I am going to put this thing down, and I'm going to a place that's far better, far grander than this place right here. But that word don't stop there. It's an awesome word. This word also means this, my dear friends. It means not only a military term to take down a tent, but also the departure of an army. I said, woo! Yeah. The departure of an army. Paul was in an army. He was a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, but you know what? I'm about to leave here. I'm going to lay my weapons down. What was that old song we used to sing? Going to lay my burdens down. You remember that song? But I'm going to lay my weapons down. I'm going to, one day, I'm going to take this armor off. My helmet's coming off. Lay my shield down. Lay my sword down. Take it off the breastplate of righteousness. I'm going to unloose my belt. I'm about to have a spell. Listen, my dear friend, it's going to come a time when I'm going to have to fight in a war no more. There came a time, my dear friends, the other day with Steve Brown. Was able to lay down his armor. Lay down his armor. And now, my dear friends, he's rejoicing with the Lord himself. Hallelujah. Amen. But guess what? The word don't stop there. It also means this, my dear friends. Not only a military term to take down of a tent and then the departure of an army, but also the sailing of a ship. To set sail. You ever been on a sailboat? When you're in a sailboat, some of the teams, I think, are still here. The one that we went on that boat downtown. How many was anybody here that's with us when we went there? We haven't do that. Y'all ain't never been yet. You went. Yeah, they put that sail. They let us do it too. Help them to put the sail out on Lake Michigan. And then all of a sudden, that wind come by, and that wind begins to take that boat. But see, that to me, when I think about that wind, I think about a cool breeze. So you think about setting sail, you don't think about anything hard or rough or terrible. You think about something that's relaxing. Just to sit back and just relax. Only a child of God can relax when death is about to come, my dear friend. Because to us, it's just like we're just setting sail. We're just departing. We're just leaving. And there's so much more that word means there. But just these few things right here. To set sail, to lay down my armor, I'm about to depart. Watch what he goes on to say. He says, for I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. It's near. Timothy, I'm in this prison down here. Soon, they're going to come and cut my head off. He knew that he was not going to be crucified, by the way. Because that's not what the Romans did. They would behead you. And soon, my dear friends, he would be beheaded for the Lord Jesus Christ. But you know what? He tells us earlier something. I am now ready to be offered. The time of the departure is at hand. And he tells you why. Because I have fought. I have fought. Not a bad fight, but a good fight. See, there's some bad fights you get into. There's some good fights. Somebody tell me, what would you consider a good fight? What would you consider a good fight? Hello. One that you win. That was a good fight. But now when you lose, you know that was a good fight. You said they cheated. They were pulling some punches that they weren't supposed to. But Paul said right here, my friends, I have fought. I have fought a good fight. That word have fought here means to contend with the adversary. See what happens. Good for me, Randall. To some of us, when we see the adversary right here, we're like, ooh! That's what we do. But they ain't contending with them. When you contend with the adversary, what you're doing, like going to wrestle like a little bit. It don't hurt me. But see, it's like he won't hurt me. How am I looking? Yeah. But you contend, my dear friends, that means you're struggling. You're fighting. You're not letting that enemy just push you around. You're giving all you get to fight back. But a lot of us, he pushed us, and we just be like, we just have to push him around. But you can't do it. They ain't contending. They're not fighting a good fight. But Paul said, I fought with the adversary. He tried to hurt me. He tried to destroy me. He tried to defeat me. Paul talked about how he had been beaten. He'd been stoned. All kinds of things happened to Paul. But Paul would get right back up and keep on digging. He didn't quit. Remember that time I left him for to die? They thought he was dead. They left him out there. He laid out. He got back up. Dusted himself off. And went back. Amen. We need some folks to get up and go back. Amen. When I was growing up, there were some folks, I could whoop them, but I didn't like fighting them. They would never quit. They're going to fight you for a week. You know, I mean, come on, man. They would not give up. We need more Christians like that. Amen. Who won't give up, my friends. Keep on fighting. Keep on swinging. I mean, do whatever you got. Do whatever you got to do. Amen. But fight a good fight. But not only that, the Bible says here, I fought a good fight. By the way, the word fight there also here, and the word good fight, the word fight there also means not only conflict, but it also means effort. Effort. When Christian and DJ and Isaiah, but especially Christian and DJ, they're older, when they was in school, listen, I want them to get A's, B's, and all that kind of stuff. But Miss Sue, you know the first thing I looked at? Was their conduct and effort. If Christian got an A or B in effort and conduct, but if she had gotten a C or a D and the grade itself, I wouldn't be going, oh, what's wrong with your child? No, because she gave effort. If she got an A or B in effort, that means she was trying. She was trying. I wonder how many of us, let's just be real for a second. How many of us are really trying? I mean, really trying. You know, well, I do try to do right. Well, let's rephrase that. How are you trying to do right? I ain't gonna just think about doing right. But how are you actually trying? Well, preacher, I'm trying to diet. Well, how are you trying to diet if you got a buggy full of cookies? But I'm trying. I told Jolene, don't y'all tell her this. I told Jolene, I said, you're a devil. Why'd you say that, preacher? Because she had got a bag, Miss Sue, a bag. It was Snickers. It was Reese's. You know that bag? She brought the thing on and put it on the bed. Big old bag. And she know, I said, I'm going to try, you know. I said, Joe, you the devil. It had those, what's the one with the silver on there? No, the little ones, little bitty ones. The Kisses. That messed me up. I'm like, why? Man, so there we are. We're laying on the bed, watching TV, and I'm eating my popcorn. I mean, I'm sitting there, and she said, look at you, look at you. I'm like, what? She said, look at this. She gonna grab her little pile. It was real small. And here my pile, it was real big. I said, your fault? I said, you're the devil. But guess what? She didn't make me do it. But when I seen it, I could taste it. It was like, I could take it all in here. I could just taste the chocolate. And I'm sitting there going, and I know, listen. I shouldn't tell y'all this because then y'all won't bring it. But if you do bring chocolate, don't bring a whole lot of it to me. Because I can't stop. I can't stop. I mean, it's almost as if some says, you must eat all this right now. Don't leave one left. He by himself. You know, it's like, okay. I want you to be lonely. And it's like, you be talking like that. All kind of stuff, hey, man. Well, you know what? I'm not really giving much of an effort. But if I don't give an effort, you know what I do? If I see you coming like, oh, no, I be running. Get away. But instead, be like, no. You run that way. You run the wrong way. But Paul said right here, man, I was fighting, which meant I was giving effort. I was given effort. That's why he can say this. I have fought a good fight. So therefore, he says, I have finished my course. I have completed my course, my race. But that word race or course also means this. And we all big on this word here. Career. Now, when you think about a career, you don't think about something that ends. You think about something that has longevity. I'm doing this so that I want to have a career in this area. Well, my dear friends, you and I have a career of being a servant and a soldier and a son of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to realize this is a career. It's not just something we're doing for, this is not just a few classes you just throw in there that aren't really needed, you'll just have them in there. No, this is necessary. This is a career that you and I have gotten involved in. And when we start looking at it as a career, I think our mindset will be a little bit different. But not only this, we got to get done. Not only this, I'm going to be really sure, but it's still good. Let's just say here, I finished my course. This is great. I have kept the faith. That word kept also means to guard. When you guard something, it's almost like you're protecting it too. That word also means to watch, as a soldier watches over a prisoner. But now, this is why I really wanted, what stuck out to me was this one right here. It also means, Brother Dennis, to serve. Now look at it now. Paul says, I've finished my course. I've kept the faith. I've guarded the faith. I've watched the faith. I have served the faith. The faith. That's the faith. Are we serving the faith? Which means you're serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of your belief, your confidence, your trust, your reliance, your dependence upon Him, I've served the faith. That's why Paul could say, I'm ready. I have fought. I have finished. I have served. And now I'm ready to check out. Nothing is left undone. I'm finished. But while I wait, bring me my books. Bring me my parchments. I'll study until it's time to leave. Paul, why are you reading? You're going to cut your head off a little bit. I'm going to keep on reading, keep on, until they say it's time. Am I their friends? Because you need to read the Fox's Book of Martyrs. And I believe with all my heart, my soul, he was like those folks. When it came time for them to die at the stake, to be burned alive, if you and I knew we were going to be burned alive, man, we would be running. We'd be doing 160 miles an hour. But there was some of them, my dear friend. I can't remember his name, but they had him tied up to the stake. And they had the fire around him, and it's like it didn't catch like you're supposed to catch. So only part of his body burned. The rest of it went out, but it burned the ropes that had burned the ropes. And they'll put some more ropes on him. You know, something else is okay. They have to do that. He just stood there while they got the fire going. Singing. Singing. Folks, we are talking about something that is real, that is genuine, that is deep. We have a world around us to try to tell us, y'all a bunch of nuts. No. We ain't nuts. Matter of fact, we are nuts, but we're screwed onto the right boat. Amen. Hallelujah. That's why we're going to start talking next Tuesday, dealing with our belief in Christ and why we believe this and deal with the atheists and all that kind of stuff. We're going to start that next Tuesday. But the point of the matter is this, my dear friends. We have something that's concrete, that is more believable, that has more evidence than anything you can think of about all this evolution stuff. And they all differ on what they believe about it. It's amazing. What are you saying, preacher? Let's make the most of our life. The most of our life. Let's not just exist, but make the most of our life. So, preacher, what does God want me to do? Well, one thing for sure, He wants you to give Him all honor and glory. To glorify Him in all that you say, all that you do. He wants you to bring Him glory. And that's a good question. And what you and I are doing, is it bringing Him glory and honor? Or is it bringing Him dishonor? Is it dishonoring Him, especially when you and I name the name of Christ and say, I'm a Christian. But at the same time, we're going places that we know that the Word of God has taught us clearly. Don't do that. Abstain from all appearance. That's top of a lot of stuff right there. Appearance of evil. View of evil. In other words, you ain't got to be doing it, but just being in view around it ain't good. The Bible says, commands us, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
Well, they don't want to get drunk. I'm just here. Hey, y'all. No. Because you got a flesh. Like I got a flesh. And that flesh yearns for that which is wrong. It wants to do what's wrong. We don't have a sanctified flesh. We contend with that joker. We fight with that joker. But we're going to fight with it. Let's make sure it's a good fight. What are you saying, preacher? Simply this. Let's make the most of our life. Paul made the most of his life. And I'm sure everybody here wants to make the most of their life. Let's make the most of our life by dying to self and living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you. Give me any wonderful blessings. Lord, this is just some thoughts. This is just some thoughts from the Word. Now, I just pray and ask God that each of us, though, would be have been helped by the Holy Spirit to grab a hold of some truths. Are we making the most of our life? I mean, are we really consumed with Christ or just consumed with other stuff? Suffering or saving, which one is it? Father, perhaps there's some folks in here tonight that want to talk to you for just a few moments. They want to ask you to help them to make the most of their life while they're here. Do they have a good testimony for the Lord Jesus Christ? So when they do make the departure, when they do, make their exit out of this life, we can all say with one accord, they fought a good fight. They kept the faith. They finished their course. Like Paul, they were ready. They were ready. Perhaps God, there's some folks will come talk to you about that tonight. Or perhaps we'll talk about some other things, some other matters, something I didn't even bring forth. I didn't talk about it, but you talked about it to them yesterday or earlier today. I don't know. But they will come talk to you for a few moments. A little better's come. Maybe we want to pray for someone. We got a lot of folks that are sick that are not here tonight. Perhaps we'll come pray for them, that you'll touch their bodies and give them strength, give them healing. I pray God they come forward and pray for those individuals. Whatever the needs are, help us to respond. Most of your sons, let me pray. Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Perhaps you're coming like.